back. Really glad you're here for this one. I want to start with two questions, and I'd encourage you, if you can, to genuinely sit with them rather than just skip past them. Here's the first. How many leadership books or podcasts have you read or listened to this year? All right, now here's the second question. How many hours have you spent genuinely studying the people you lead? Because I reckon for most leaders, there's a big gap between those two answers. And I reckon that gap explains more leadership failure than almost anything else. Before I get into the heart of today's episode, I want to share with you a piece of research that I find really interesting. Harvard researcher Amy Edmondson spent decades studying what separates high-performing teams from the rest. And her conclusion wasn't that the single biggest predictor was talent or strategy or resources. It was whether people felt psychologically safe to take interpersonal risks. That safety, according to Edmondson, is created or destroyed by leaders who understand or misunderstand how fear works in human beings. I reckon that's a big idea. Just sit with that for a moment. And I want to tell you a story about a moment early in my career when I really, really should have known better. I was working with a newly formed team of leaders from an aluminium refinery, and they were all practical blokey blokes, you know, no nonsense, get it done types. So we had this team building offsite, and I thought I knew what I was doing. It was early in my facilitation career, and I'd been reading a lot about the importance of doing icebreakers to start the day. So I brought along a box of fluffy kids' toys to use in a game to help the group get to know each other. I got everyone to stand in a circle and pick up a toy and throw it to someone else across the circle, and calling their name as I did it. And I let off. As I threw the first toy, the first bloke just stood there with his arms folded as the toy bounced off his chest onto the floor. And then the rest of the guys followed suit. You could hear a pin drop. Yep. That happened, and I'd love to say that I recovered brilliantly, but I didn't. I'd read the book on icebreakers, but I hadn't read the room. And here's the thing, and this is what really today's episode is all about. You don't learn to lead people from books. You learn from experience, from observation, and from reflection. And I reckon maybe a good metaphor is the ocean. I love to surf, as you probably know. And every time I go, I won't rush out. Before I get into the water, I study the conditions. I watch the patterns of the waves, the currents, the tides. I'll watch how the best surfers are working with what's out there in the conditions. And they're the ones who have become really fluent in reading what's going on without needing to control it. And they make it look effortless. And so if I study first, I surf better and I have more fun. And what if that's what the best leaders do with people? Not managing them, not fixing them, but studying them with patience, with genuine curiosity, and without judgment. I want to offer you a couple of directions for what that kind of study of humans could look like. The first direction is outward, studying others. What does fear look like when it shows up in a room? What unlocks people and what shuts them down? What are those invisible dynamics at play in any group, the power structures, the unspoken ground rules? What does it actually mean to listen, not just for words, but for what's underneath them? When you're fluent in answers to questions like those, you've got a much clearer picture of the territory you're navigating, and so you can move through it far more adeptly. The second direction, if the first one's outward, the second one's inward, which is studying yourself. How does your own fear show up? And what does it cost you and the people around you? What are your genuine strengths and how are you using them or maybe hiding behind them? When do you host and when do you hero? And what takes you to either mode? This inward work isn't navel-gazing. I call it calibration because you can't read the room if you don't know how you distort it. It was Peter Drucker, arguably the 20th century's most influential management thinker. He made this idea of knowing yourself the centerpiece of his landmark Harvard Business Review essay, Managing Oneself, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. His premise was at the time, quietly radical that we can't lead others well until we've done the serious work of understanding how we're wired. What are our strengths? How do we work best? What do we value? And this isn't about becoming a therapist or spending your leadership career in a feeling circle. This is about rigor. The best investors study markets obsessively. The best coaches study game footage. The best leaders study people, how they come together, what fear looks like, what unlocks potential, what erodes trust. I reckon it's one of the most practical things you can do. So let's get practical. What does this actually look like in practice? Well, here are a few thoughts, a few practical ideas that you could try out. Firstly, read widely, but seek the enduring. The wisdom's already out there. It's in psychology, in philosophy, in great literature. Organizational behavior, neuroscience, attachment theory, none of this stuff is new, but it's deeply useful if you're willing to prioritize seeking out that over the latest leadership fads. Secondly, get a mentor or mentors and be a mentor, because I reckon there's no better way to learn about humanity than sitting with someone whose experience is stretching further than your own. And there's no better way to consolidate that learning than by teaching someone else. Both are really active forms of study. Third, use your dual awareness. Dual awareness is where you're aware of what's going on in front of you and around you, as well as what's going on inside you. So every meeting, every conversation is a data source. What's happening in the room? Who's present? Who's holding back? What do you notice about your own state? The leader who's quietly watching all of this while also participating is doing something most people never think to do. And the fourth and final practical thought is ask better questions of yourself. What's driving me right now? How might I be coming across? What am I afraid of right now? And these aren't indulgent questions. They're questions that keep you grounded and calibrated. Most leaders I work with are genuinely good people who care deeply about the work they do and the people they lead. But caring isn't the same as studying. When did you last treat people around you as your greatest source of learning? And what might become possible if you did? I'll leave that with you. Thanks for listening. If you got some inspiration from this episode, I've popped a few links to some articles I've written that will help you dig deeper into this idea of being a student of humanity. Check them out when you got a moment. Also, keep an eye out for my next solo cast episode where I'm going to dig into how do you actually read a room. I'm Digby Scott, and this is Dig Deeper. Until next time, go well.